Today's show is being sponsored by Once Upon a Time Travel Agency. Jim, Kim, and their staff are all Disney-trained travel agents who are able to make sure you get the best deals for whatever Disney destination you might have in mind. From Florida to California, France, Japan, or even a cruise, they will plan everything with you and then book it. And I save the best for last. The cost of the service is free, so stop by their page on Facebook or give them a call at 504-304-4904 and start planning your trip right now. If you mention that you heard them on our show, you will get a park touring guidebook of your choice when you book your trip. Once Upon a Time Travel, they make your Disney vacation magical.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hello and welcome to show number 68 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk all about the different ways you can get around Walt Disney World, the different types of transportation to get you from a resort to the parks or to anywhere else you want to go in Walt Disney World. So on this week's show, we have Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. How's it going, Sam?
Going great. I can't wait. Buses, boats, monorails. Oh, my.
Very cool. We also have Jen from the For the Love of Disney blog. How's it going, Jen?
Good. I'm excited to chat about transportation. I think we probably all have a little bit different experiences with it, but there's so many options. So,
well, that sometimes is one of the most difficult things down there. So, yeah, this is hopefully going to be a fun show.
Yeah.
And we also have Jimmy with us, kind of. Jimmy's away training right now, so he's on the road, and he's going to try to call in hopefully in a little while. So if all of a sudden you hear him talking, that's where he appeared from. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is the different ways we're going to get around Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World is a very, very big place, considering all the hotels, the parks, and the different areas outside the parks. And one of the things that was a little hard to get a handle of the first couple times we went was the transportation systems they have. I tell you, as far as the transportation system goes, it is as complicated and big as a small city. What do you guys remember from the first couple times you went? I mean, was it easy to pick up right away, or did you guys have a little learning curve?
So from my early trips, and you'll kind of see an evolution here. From my early trips, it really wasn't that big of a concern because we were in the up early, grab whatever transportation the hotel said to use, right? Disney Resort, which was probably a bus, go to a park, stay in that park all day, get the bus back at the end of the day. And since we weren't there long, it was okay. We're going to Magic Kingdom. We're going to Epcot. We're going to whatever location. When it started to get confusing is when we expanded out and started to explore other resorts or do miniature golf or hit a water park. And that's when it started to get confusing, and it's not as easy as get on a bus and go someplace.
For me, I had kind of a different experience. We've pretty much rented a car every trip from the first time we went down. But on each trip, and we might talk about this, there are certain parks or certain events that we would go to that we would choose transportation over a car, not often, but again, maybe one or two times a trip. So we sort of got to ease ourselves into the transportation system. So the couple times that we've gone without a car, you know, I feel like we already got a good handle on it, but we weren't jumping in trying to get a family, you know, family of five to a rope drop on a certain route or something. So be kind of a different experience with it.
Right. And I guess I kind of mimic Sam a little bit more in that. You're right. In the beginning, it was basically we were at the will of Disney, so to speak. We were on property without a car doing what they said to do. And with the kids, there wasn't really, like Sam's family, there wasn't really things that we were doing outside of the parks and just the hotels when they were very young. But yeah, you're right. Once they got older, we started doing extra things. Then it started getting to be a little tough. And so hopefully today we're going to talk about some of the different ways to get around the parks and help you guys out. So the way we decided to go about talking about the transportation is we're going to start with the resorts first. And what we'll do is we'll just pick the different levels of the resorts. And then if there's any stereotypical problems or tips or things we can come up with for that level, we'll throw it out there. And this is probably one of the easier ones. Let's start with the value resorts, which are the All-Stars and the Pop Century. Have you guys had a lot of experience with transportation from those hotels?
From Pop Century, I have.
I have not, except when you've had to go there for certain places, like, say, Wide World of Sports, which we'll probably get to, but not staying at the resort, no.
Okay, yeah, and as far as Pop Century goes, I've been there many times and have used the transportation all different ways. I have had a chance to stay at the All-Star Sports Resort, so I have had a chance to experience that.
Yeah, and I think, Ed, I would even lump in Art of Animation, although, you know, people will argue if it's a value or not, but I think from a transportation point of view, it is very similar to Pop Century. So maybe we'd include that in the values as we have our conversation.
I agree. Now, as far as the resorts go, any time we're talking about a resort, to get to the park, it's always going to be a bus. Usually that's the best way to go, and we could always have the discussion whether we're going to have a car or not. For today, I think we're going to talk about not having a car. We're going to be there as if we flew in, used the Magical Express, and we're at the will of Disney. So, from the value resorts, it is pretty basic getting to the parks. The All-Stars do share buses. And the Pop Century, I think, does share a bus with the Art of Animation. I'm not sure if that happens all the time, though.
I think that's really seasonal in the way that they share buses.
I think across the board, yeah.
Yeah, so depending on when you're there, you really need to look to see. And it's also part of why Magic Kingdom now has the digital boards, because they can change that pretty easily as far as this bus is going to Art of Animation and Pop Century, whereas another bus may be going to all three of the All-Stars versus one of them or two of them. I also think for the values, an important point to make, in every case, there is a single bus stop for each of the hotels. So everyone's going to get on the bus in the same spot. Is that true for sports?
Yes. That's. And it's usually right outside the check-in area. So.
Yep.
Or maybe always.
Sure. And one thing to look for, too, is with the All-Stars, since they're so close together, you might be out in a wing of the one hotel that might be closer to the bus stop of a different hotel. We have seen that before. So you have to be a little flexible in that and just kind of check out the maps.
Definitely something to keep in mind. I know last time I stayed at Pop Century recently, you're a little set back because when you wake up in the morning and you want to get to that rope drop of whatever the park might be, there's switchbacks waiting for people to get on buses. And it's a little bit like, oh, no, how long am I going to have to wait? They do good at getting the buses there as quickly as they can. I have seen buses change locations as they pull in based on demand. But I think something newer that is really cool at all of the hotels we're talking about now, resorts, is the addition of the larger buses for the Magic Kingdom. Have you guys been able to experience that?
No.
What are they, just a double
bus? So the double wide bus with the accordion center. And now there's reasons why they're at the All-Stars and Pop and Art of Animation, and it has to do with the way that the buses come into the facility. So there's plenty of room for them. And really the reason I mention it, those big buses are people eaters. And those switchbacks, the people just disappear quickly when they're headed to Magic Kingdom. So I definitely throw kudos at Disney for investing in that infrastructure, which included building new bus stops at the Magic Kingdom so that they could leverage these buses. So it's definitely good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. Disney's done a lot of different things, and we might sound like we are discouraged sometimes with transportation compared to what it was 10, 15 years ago. It is really amazing. Now, something else in the values you brought up a second ago that kind of stuck out to me is the switchbacks that they have. I remember at the Pop and All-Star, which I don't remember seeing at the moderates or the deluxes, which is kind of an odd thing. We'll talk about those when we get to there, but I think the difference is the bus stops are more of like a building with, you know, cover for rain and stuff like that, as opposed to being the switchbacks out under the basically sky. There's nothing covering them at the values. So it is kind of a little bit more value. One other thing that ties into that is at the parks and downtown Disney, the bus stops for the value resorts tend to be the furthest away. The first time I took a bus from the Pop to Epcot a couple years ago, I was amazed at how far away from the actual entrance to Epcot the bus stop for Pop Century is. I think we walked for about 15 minutes.
Bad luck then, because I know we've stayed at all levels of hotels, and there's sometimes we can be at a deluxe and walk to like bus stop one at Epcot or somewhere, and it's the farthest one away. So I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's seasonal, or maybe, like I said, maybe I just have terrible luck. I don't know.
Well, did you know that when you go to the Epcot bus stops, there's that first set of bus stops?
Right, and then there's the whole like taxi section, and then, yeah.
And there's a whole other wing that keeps on going. So, you know, it's just something to expect, and it is kind of based on their values. It's the same at Hollywood Studios, where you're basically walking along the whole row of the buses to get to them, and be prepared for a little bit of a crowd getting back to the park, or getting back to the hotel.
Especially if you're staying till the nighttime, whatever's over, fireworks, Fantasmic, Illuminations. That's when you hear a lot of people that complain about Disney buses. It's because they were in that big crowd first thing in the morning, or they were trying to get on a bus right when fireworks were over. That's when everybody's trying to do it, and you really have to know that going into it. So if I'm at Magic Kingdom and I know I have to get a bus to get back to Pop Century, for example, fireworks are just over, I'll spend a little extra time in one of the shops. Or if there's a second parade, I'll watch the second parade. Because why stand in a switchback waiting for a bus when you can watch the second electrical parade? I mean, don't think that you're just going to run and be the first person to get that bus, because there's going to be a line when you get there. So manage your time accordingly. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And it depends on your situation. If you've got the sleeping kids in the stroller and everybody's passed out and you want to get out of the park early, well, maybe you want to kind of get out of the park before the fireworks.
There you go.
Use that as your escape clause.
Yep.
So those are different things you got to plan on. But now the whole issue about crowded buses going back is all levels of resorts. Don't think that's just going to be value.
Absolutely.
When you get done with the fireworks.
Yep. So speaking of the values, we're talking a lot about buses. Because at the value resorts, that is the only transportation mechanism. There are no monorails. There are no boats. You're going to get one of the Walt Disney World buses, whether you're going to Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Studios, Animal Kingdom, or even if you're headed to one of the water parks. And what one of the things that's true for all of the resorts is that to get to a water park, it's on a route for one of the other parks. So, for example, if you're headed to Blizzard Beach or to Winter Summerland Miniature Golf, the Animal Kingdom bus is going to swing by Blizzard Beach on the way to Animal Kingdom. So that's how you get there. If you're headed to Typhoon Lagoon, it's actually a Downtown Disney bus that'll swing you by Typhoon Lagoon. So make sure you know where you're headed and keep that in mind. And, of course, always you can drive if you're staying in a resort. Your room pass that allows you to park in the hotel is also allowing you to park at any of the resorts free of charge. In fact, recently they started scanning Magic Bands, so your room key lets you into the Magic Kingdom parking lot, for example. So it's always an option to drive.
Okay, well, so let's talk some moderates. Now, I've only stayed at the Port Orleans Riverside, so I really don't have a good grab on all the moderates. However, I do know that they do have a little bit better service in that they have usually more than one bus stop per property.
I think that, yes, for the moderates in general, I believe that they all have multiple bus stops. And if you look at them on a map, the bus stops tend to be in a circle around the outside perimeter of the resort, regardless of the moderate property that you're staying at. And the swimming pools tend to be towards the center. So it brings up that age-old question, depending on the resort, where's the best location to stay? Do you want to be by the food court? Do you want to be by a bus stop? Do you want to be by a swimming pool? There's lots of things. And they're resort-specific, and I know we don't have time to get into all those.
But yeah, just one tip about that. If you do find the building or the wing you want to be in, always try to request it. It more so than not, I've heard that the requests are usually honored. As long as you're not asking for an upgrade, like where you're looking at the pool or something like that, they will give you the building. We always request the 90s building at the Pop Century. It's right across the parking lot from the bus stop. It's great.
You know, along those same lines, back to the values, the last time I stayed at Pop Century, I was in one of the 50s buildings. The 50s buildings are the ones with the bowling pin. And they're very close to the bridge over to Art of Animation. So on more than one occasion, when we left the Magic Kingdom, the Pop Century bus was really long and had a long line. Whereas Art of Animation, the bus was there and there was room on it. So we sort of jumped over to the Art of Animation bus. And we were able to check out that resort while we walked across and got to our room. And those kind of things happen.
And that is a good option for the 50s. I was going to say you probably drove to the bus stop from the 50s.
Right.
I will say, too, about you mentioned, Ed, the multiple bus stops per resort. Just in case anyone's going that hasn't used it before, they will all, like one bus will stop at each of them and then go to or from a park. So sometimes it's useful as an like internal bus system, and this is true of a lot of the moderates and some of the deluxes, but correct me if I'm wrong, there's not like four Magic Kingdom buses coming to four different stops. You're still waiting on the one bus to the park you're going to.
That's correct. Your stop is,
you know, less of a walk, so.
Right, and I believe that is the moderates, where the deluxes, I don't believe, have the loop. I think the deluxes just have the one stop.
It depends where you're staying. Places like Saratoga Springs and Old Key West have the loop because they're spread out. Similar to the moderates, the larger properties, I think, have those loops. And then obviously, yeah, like you said, some of the deluxes that have a smaller footprint to where none of the walks are all that far, they might not have any of those.
Well, so when we're talking moderates, we're talking Caribbean Beach, Coronado Springs, and the Riverside Resorts, right? Is that all of them? I want to make sure I didn't miss any.
Yes, and then actually, you guys might know this because I have not stayed there, but doesn't Port Orleans have a boat that takes you to Downtown Disney?
It does. Okay. It's so the only cool one of those. It's the only one of those with something other than a bus.
Right.
You can get the boat to Downtown Disney, which is nice. That boat can also be used for inner resort transportation between Riverside and French Quarter if you wanted to.
Okay.
Just to get a little look at the Sasagula River, which is kind of cool. But in the other cases, Coronado and Caribbean, there's a single bus loop that goes around the outside with multiple stops.
Now, does the boat at Port Orleans, does it also connect to Old Key West, or is it just use the same river?
That boat, last time I was on it, did not stop at Old Key West. It started at Riverside. It stopped at
French Quarter.
And then its next stop was all the way on the far side across the lagoon to where basically, I was going to say where Captain Jack's is, but that's long
almost
gone.
To Rainforest Cafe.
To Rainforest Cafe, yeah. Yes. And one of the tricky things there with boat transportation downtown is you have to look for the color of the flag on the boat. There are different colors. One boat goes to – from the same dock. One boat goes back to Riverside. Another boat will go to the Treehouses or Saratoga Springs, and another boat goes to the other end of Downtown Disney. Now, all of that said – that's going to change significantly in the next 8 months as Downtown Disney becomes Disney Springs. So some of that data might be dated when you listen to this.
Right. And getting back to Jen's question about Old Key West also, it does share the same river. But yeah, you probably have a separate.
Yeah, I'm thinking now that it's kind of like the Port Orleans kind of tees into the same river. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, I think they're not necessarily right on the same path. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and they're also building that bridge, which might help relieve some of that, right? Just walk across.
From, yeah.
So
Oh, that's going to be interesting. I can't wait till downtown Disney gets done.
Yes, agree. I wouldn't mind shopping without massive traffic, which is why I would never drive any car to downtown Disney.
Right, right. But once they get done with that parking, it's going to be hopefully cake, nice and easy.
That's the plan.
The deluxe resorts, you usually have many options.
Yes.
I know that the resorts on the monorail loop around the Magic Kingdom, you can take the monorail, you can take the bus, you can take a boat, you can walk.
Hey, there's something we
have. A lot of different ways.
We haven't said you can walk anywhere yet. How about that?
That's one of my favorite reasons to stay at the Contemporary is that walking path. I think
it's so cool. Magic Kingdom. Now, while everybody walks out to go and get in line for the bus, you're walking right to the elevator. That's not bad at all.
Very true. And now the Magic Kingdom, for the resorts at the Magic Kingdom, there is kind of a little trick there that will get you to the park a little quicker and get you back to resorts, specifically if you're staying at the Grand Floridian or the Poly, if you're lucky enough to, which I wish I could again someday. But anyway, the way you kind of get around this is that you'll take the resort monorail always to the Magic Kingdom. So in the morning, that's the way to get to the Magic Kingdom because the monorail is going that way. When you go back to your resort, jump on one of the boats. The first stop in the boat from the Magic Kingdom is the Grand Floridian. Second stop is the Polynesian. It's always a nice little ride back in the afternoon or at night. And the one little fringe benefit you might get if you're coming back in the evening is that you might have a chance to see the electrical water parade that they have out there. So an extra thing, an extra fringe
kind
benefit.
Kind of on that same note, just as an extra tip, if you're leaving the Magic Kingdom at the end of the night and it's really crowded, it's just a hit or miss whether the express monorail to the TTC or the resort monorail is more crowded, but you can get on the resort monorail to get to the TTC at any time of day because it will make a stop there. So if there's nobody in that line, then yes, you'll make a stop or two along the way, but going from the TTC to the Magic Kingdom or vice versa, you can always get on the resort monorail even if you're not staying at one of those resorts.
Yeah, no, that's a great tip. We always take the resort monorail. You only have the Contemporary, and then it's the Ticket Transportation Center. So,
when you look at the deluxe resorts, obviously around the monorail loop, the Magic Kingdom is a lot of them. Fort Wilderness is also in that same category, right? But not on a monorail stop.
Wilderness, yeah, Wilderness Lodge. And is the Fort Wilderness?
I see. Now, I would have thought Fort Wilderness would be considered a moderate because of the cabin
I think it
prices.
Is. Okay. And then obviously the tent camping is very affordable, but I don't know where that falls on the scale. But yeah, but Wilderness Lodge is definitely a deluxe. And so, and they share some transportation. So you have a moderate and a deluxe there that are, you know, closely related.
And there's a boat from there to Magic Kingdom, correct?
Yes.
And how do you get to Epcot from there? Is it a bus or do you have to get the monorail?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's definitely buses. However, if you wanted to start touring around, you could take the boat to the Magic Kingdom and get on the monorail to the Ticket Transportation Center, take the monorail over to Epcot.
I think you could spend the whole day on Disney transportation if you
wanted.
You
really could.
Well, here's the argument on that, though. If you're at Fort Wilderness at the campgrounds, and you're parked and you're kind of camping or parked here in Winnebago next to the lake, well, it might actually be an easier trip to jump on the boat because otherwise you have to wait for the inter-resort bus to take you to the front of the resort to then get the bus to go to Epcot.
Especially true at Fort Wilderness because, and we'll probably, I don't know if you guys talked about this with Charlotte on a previous episode about Fort Wilderness, but my goodness, there are just so many bus stops in that. I mean, it's such a big area. So there are bus stops, multiple bus routes inside of the campground area, and some take you some places and others don't. And then some are park buses. So you sometimes have to take a bus to another bus. And it confuses me. That's where I get confused for sure. So you're right. The boat might be a super quick choice.
Sure. You always have to kind of investigate all the different ways.
I've never done any of that. Never stayed there.
We haven't either. We have done Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. And gosh, we drove and thought that we, you know, would just drive and get there. And we drove and we got on a bus, but it was a bus that only went to the one area and it didn't actually stop at Pioneer Hall. And I don't know. It was like we ended up on three different buses and it was our fault completely. It's probably not that confusing, but just all that to say, it's so big. There are definitely it's definitely something that you're going to want to look at and leave plenty of time to get where you're going if that's where you're staying.
Oh, sure. Usually that's kind of one of the things you try to do at home before you go because there's no pressure. It is amazing how difficult things can be sometimes when you're on vacation with the family and you're trying to get from here to there and you need to know now. So, you know, you spend a little time beforehand and try to plan that out.
So if you look at the deluxe resorts, I think you can categorize them as the Magic Kingdom resort area in the monorail loop. And then there's my favorite spot, which is the Epcot resort area. And I absolutely, this is my favorite. And I'll give you one of the reasons that it's my favorite. From any of the resorts, we're talking Yacht Club, Beach Club, Swan and Dolphin, Boardwalk. You have the ability to take a bus to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. That's how you're going to get to those two. It's the same bus. And now one of the drawbacks here is depending on the time of year, we have been there when the bus will actually stop at all five of those resorts on its way to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. So it literally goes Swan, Dolphin, Yacht, Beach, Boardwalk. That's five stops. We've been there during busy times of year when each of them has their own, or at least Swan and Dolphin's on one loop, Yacht and Beach is on another loop, and Boardwalk's on another loop. And I really like it is the boat transportation that they have to Epcot and to Hollywood Studios. So on the reverse side of these resorts, there's a nice lagoon, a lake. And in fact, it's the same water that is World Showcase Lagoon and is the waterway that's right in front of Hollywood Studios. So there's a boat launch and you can take a boat from the boardwalk to Epcot or to Hollywood Studios from all of these. So the way that the boat goes is at the back of Epcot, the International Gateway, which is the park with the second entrance, it's right in the back. You can catch a boat that will take you to the boardwalk directly. Then it goes across the lagoon to the yacht and to share the same dock. Then it goes to the Swan and Dolphin where it shares the same dock. Then it goes all the way down to Hollywood Studios, turns around and does that same loop backwards. So regardless of the direction that you're going, the Yacht and Beach Club is always the second stop. So a couple of little hints there and things that I've seen. Number one of the biggest reasons I love it, and Jen, we haven't talked about this yet. I love it because you can push a stroller onto the boats, leave the child in it, push it right on, and never have to fold it up and carry it on. Absolutely.
Or
love
that in.
People with, yeah, now we can expand that, right? The wheelchairs or the things that get ridden around all over the place, just drive it right on. You don't have to wait for the bus driver to get out and lower the bus and let people get on and that type of thing. Absolutely love that.
Well, and we, and the same for the same reasons, they have really serene, lovely walkways between that whole area as well. And you know,
they do.
If you're not already walking enough at the parks, we absolutely love the walk. Now, the walk from Hollywood Studios to Epcot gets a bit long, but if you're just doing one park to the resort area, that's some of my favorite paths anywhere.
Give me an idea from the boardwalk to Hollywood Studios. I see that pathway. How long is that walk?
That one's long. Well, I'll tell you what's long.
But not more than 10 minutes. I mean, it's not long.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It feels long.
It's long if you get caught in a freak Florida thunderstorm.
Oh, yes,
which
I'm sure.
I've done.
Well, and it also feels long because if you're walking from the boardwalk to Epcot, you're walking on the boardwalk, you're looking at the Yacht and Beach Club, you are walking along the waterway, you're seeing people on the Surrey bikes, you're walking into Epcot, you're hearing the International Gateway music. If you're walking to the studios, you are walking on a path, and it's dead silent, and it's pretty much nothing until you can see the studios. So it feels longer. It's not nearly so entertaining.
Yeah, and one of the reasons, Jen, I think it feels longer is because you can see Hollywood Studios and you have to walk all the way around to get to it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. When you're walking, it's like, there it is. It's right there. But wait, I got to go past all these bus stops to go over there and get to it. But my kids do know when we're leaving Epcot, there's a couple of reasons that we'll leave Epcot. There have been occasions, believe it or not, when immediately after Illuminations, I've needed to get to the ESPN Club because of some sporting event. I want to see the last innings too, or the final period too, right? Walking is the way to go because you can get to the ESPN Club very quickly if you walk, then you have to walk back. Another interesting thing about the boardwalk, a couple of times when I stayed in my DVC location, we stayed towards the back of the resort. And one of the side effects was if we continued down a hallway and went down one flight of steps, we actually came out onto essentially where their tennis courts are, which puts you halfway down the path to Hollywood Studios. So it was much easier to walk to studios by not going out to the boardwalk and around, but cutting through the resort and coming down the back way. So we found ourselves walking a lot that trip. But then remember, you can always get that boat when you exit Hollywood Studios. On your left-hand side, you'll see a friendship boat sign. And if you jump on that boat, it will take you right to the Swan and Dolphin. It will leave the Swan and Dolphin and go to the Yacht and Beach Club, where I have jumped off for Beaches and Cream or something along those lines. And then it hits Boardwalk, and then it's back to Epcot. And I think that pretty much summarizes the Epcot area resorts and why I really love those boats.
Well, that's cool. Now, something you mentioned really quick before we continue on, and I just wanted to say this about the Poly because we didn't say it when we were over there at the Polynesian, is you can walk to the Ticket and Transportation Center. It's a very quick walk, actually, too. And if you look at the map of the property, you can see it. And getting to the Ticket and Transportation Center gets you onto the monorail to Epcot. Now, you can get on the monorail and take it around the loop, but it does take about 10, 15
because
minutes.
Because it goes the other way, right? It doesn't go...
Correct. Right. The first stop from the Ticket and Transportation Center actually is the Polynesian. So if you're getting on at the Poly, you're literally going all the way around the loop to get back. We're going to move on from the resorts. And since Sam already mentioned the International Gateway at Epcot as one of the entrance ways into there, let's talk about Epcot and getting there from basically anywhere on property. Now, we did talk about the resorts, and to get to Epcot, you're mainly going to take the bus. However, you do have an option. From the resort hotels around the Magic Kingdom, you can get on the monorail. Sam mentioned with the deluxe hotels over by Epcot that you get to there basically through the International Gateway. However, there are a lot more normal ways to get to Epcot. From any resort, we're taking the bus. And from the resorts around the Magic Kingdom, you could always get on to the resort monorail, take it to the Ticket and Transportation Center, and then take the switch over to the Epcot monorail and then get to the park that way.
So there is definitely a bus from Studios to Epcot. And primarily because one of the drawbacks of the boats are when there's lightning, the friendship boats stop moving.
Stop running.
And they don't hold a lot of people. So.
And they don't, but it's still a great way to get around. But that's one of the drawbacks.
I was going to say, even though they don't hold a lot of people and it may be somewhat inconvenient way to travel, it's such a... If you're the type of person that likes to sit back and just kind of enjoy things,
or put a stroller on. No, absolutely. But if you're leaving at the end of the night and everyone's there, then it's good that there's a bus option.
Yeah, definitely.
So to get to the Magic Kingdom from Epcot, it's a pretty easy monorail ride. Once you're over at the Magic Kingdom, there... Well, I guess let's spend a little time talking about Magic Kingdom and the places you'd need to get to or from. And one of those is probably the transportation center to get back to a car, or maybe from the transportation center over to the Magic Kingdom. And everyone immediately thinks of the monorails, right? The express monorail or the resort monorail. But there's another pretty interesting way to get across the lagoon there.
I'm thinking you're talking about the boat transportation?
I am. And I was going to name the boats, but I can't remember.
The Richard F. Irvine. I got that one.
There you go.
And the Roger
Fowler.
Admiral Joe Brogy. Fowler.
Fowler.
I think we've got three. And they've only used two right now, so one of those must be out of commission.
Well, I think they rotate them, because I think they only ever use really two, because they dock at the same time and they just alternate. So three would be probably tough to coordinate.
And that's the big boat that really is a people eater when it comes to getting people across the lagoon from the transportation center over to Magic Kingdom.
Such a beautiful ride, though.
It is. It from is. The, I like,
go ahead.
I like passing the other boat as you're going across. I think that's incredible.
That is incredible. And going from the ticket and transportation center to Magic Kingdom gives you some great foot of opportunities.
Yes, it does.
I will say we've talked a lot about, or a little bit, I guess, about taking the strollers directly on to the boats, and actually you can do them directly onto the monorail. This is one situation where I believe it's the Poly, maybe it changes depending on season. They have a larger boat that looks sort of like a kind of like a miniature ferry, like the miniature version of the ones that take people back and forth to the TTC. And those you can take your strollers right on, but they also have these cool looking kind of like old-fashioned fishing boat type things, and those you have to fold your stroller up. We have waited to go to dinner and had napping kids, and thought
they almost look like them. Yeah, that stinks. They almost look like Huck Finn boats, don't
yeah,
they?
I've yeah. seen. And they're like really polished yeah. and green. They're really cool looking, but they're very small. They hold a lot fewer people, and you cannot take your stroller open. So, just so, make a note of that to keep an eye on what boat's coming to your place.
So the resort right. boats from Magic Kingdom to the Monorail Resorts and Wilderness Lodge, which is only accessible by boat to the Magic Kingdom, or maybe bus. I'm not sure if there's a bus, but not a monorail resort. Are those similar to the Friendship boats?
The bus there too.
Yes.
You can bus to Wilderness Lodge, Ed?
Oh, sure. Because it would be really kind of cold if you had to take a boat if it's, you know, that time of the year.
Yeah.
But they are. They're kind of like the Friendship boats. Actually, they're exactly like, Jimmy, have you seen either, you know, you've seen at Port Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like the ones that go from downtown Disney.
Yes, they're exactly yes. like the water taxis.
Okay, that's what I was, okay. That's the same ones, yeah. Same ones that go from Port Orleans, yeah.
I love the boat transportation at Walt Disney World. I think it's there's a whole show right there someday. Just the waterways and what goes where, and where else can you be on a boat and go over a road? It's so
honestly,
cool.
To me, the boats. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we usually prefer not to take Disney transportation for reasons that, you know, there's multiple reasons, but the boats are almost an attraction to me. Like, we just thoroughly enjoy taking them. Like, it's not necessarily the quickest way. We just really, really enjoy that ride, no matter where we're going. I mean, whether it's to Downtown Disney or along the Sassaluga River or Friendship boats at Epcot, they're just relaxing and they're just really good rides.
Completely agree.
Me too. And I think if you think about the Friendship boats around the World Showcase Lagoon, I don't think they're necessarily efficient if you're trying to get from one place to another, but it's such a nice little enjoying ride that's what it's about.
Completely agree.
Okay, well, from the Magic Kingdom, let's move on over to the Hollywood Studios. Now, we talked about walking down there, and we're also going to take the buses from our resorts. What else do we need to know about Hollywood Studios? Anything else down there that's worth talking about?
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
I can't think of anything just off the wall.
As far as transportation goes, if you happen to park at Hollywood Studios, and I know we talked about not taking our car, but this is kind of a cool tip. When you go into the park, you don't have to go in through the main entrance where they have let me rephrase that. You don't have to go through the area where the buses let people off and they go through the bag check. There is a side bag check to the left side of the tram road as you're walking in the Hollywood Studios, which is always great to go through. There's always one security guard there, and nobody ever goes past this one area.
That is
so.
Yep. I agree.
Best tip ever, Ed. That is so good. Unless yep. all of our listeners start doing it, and then it's your fault if you get backed up. Because if you just cross that street instead of following the crowds, there's like hundreds of people in front of you in line, especially at Rope Drop, to get into the studios, and there's like one person going through the one security guard on the left. It's amazing.
It's right by the guest relations right there, and When you're walking around, sure. Another cool thing is when you're walking along the fence right there, you can kind of see the roof of the Indiana Jones.
Oh, sure. Yep, yeah, definitely.
You just follow that wall, and it takes you right there.
Great. And I know we talked about Epcot, but there's a similar situation at Epcot also. When you get off the monorail or you're getting off the buses at the bus stops at Epcot, you're basically coming into the park through the entryway that if you're looking at the park from the right. So you go through all the security checks there, and there's like four or five tables. Always gets crowded because the buses are getting there, the monorails are getting there. Well, if you went just a little bit farther, kind of walking toward, I guess there's guest services on that side, or is it more of a, more where the ATM is and the restrooms are. There's basically another entrance into Epcot where you can go through another check where there's only one or two security guards, a smaller table, and usually there's not a line there. I guess the best way to think about it, it's to the other side of where that little coffee shop is underneath the monorail stairway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the... I mean, if you're thinking about it, the parking lot is kind of split. Pulling in, there's parking to the right of the monorail track, and then there's also parking to the left of the monorail track. And so, where you're talking about is kind of to the left of the monorail track.
Right, exactly. It's got its own little entrance through the fence right there, and it's hardly ever crowded.
Yeah, I've never seen it crowded, and usually... Like you were saying, usually it's like one or two security guards there. One of my big secrets, which, Ed, you got to experience in a little bit, unfortunately, it's not a secret anymore and it's gone away, is the AAA Diamond Parking Pass.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. Yes, as of January 1st.
They lost their
deal.
Yep, and no more discounts, no more pass. That was...
I love the parking.
I bought the parking pass from eBay.
Maybe why it's gone.
So now, since it is gone, we could talk about it. And Jimmy, then, when he left, gave it to me for the last couple of days I had at the parks.
How fantastic, Ed.
And it was phenomenal. And it was kind of weird because nobody knew where the AAA spots were. They always just kept telling you to follow the handicap line.
Yep.
The blue line on the road. And it really was right next to the handicap spots. It was pretty nice.
Animal Kingdom. I mean, it's... Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios.
It's not there anymore, but Animal Kingdom, it was on the...
It was on the opposite side of where the buses are parked. But, I mean, where we parked was closer than if you took a bus.
Yeah, nothing ever wrong with that.
And I mean, you just walk right there and you get in the park. Hollywood Studios too. You park and you walk right to that entrance where Ed was talking about with the one security guard. On this last trip, though, was the first time me and Kim had lost the car in the parking lot.
Oh, nice! Tell me more. which parking lot?
In Hollywood Studios. We left the park and we just didn't remember what row we parked in, and we walked around the parking lot pressing buttons. It was drizzling. Oh my god.
Use your smartphone, take a picture.
I'm telling you, it makes sense. And we thought, you know what, we're pretty close. We just didn't pay attention.
That's the worst time. I'm only two or three rows away. No way you're going to have an issue.
It felt like, you know what, we know right where the car is, and oh my god.
At least you weren't by yourself.
No, I was by myself because I was searching one row and Kim was searching another row.
Right.
I can hear that conversation.
It was terrible.
Kim, I want to hear about that later.
it was not fun. And it was raining, so it made it worse.
Yeah, that's never fun. Okay, well, we have the Animal Kingdom to talk about, and I don't think there's anything special going on over there, really. It's basically taking the bus there. You really don't have any other options other than driving yourself.
Hey, Jen, if you stay at one of the Animal Kingdom spots there, can you walk over or do you still have to get a bus?
You still have to get a bus.
Okay, I wasn't sure if there was a walkway. Seems like there should be.
Oh, absolutely, because it's so close. Most of the connecting land is like Savannah, so between that and, you know, whatever they need to take care of the animals, there's just...
How fantastic would it be if there was a walkway through the Savannah?
Oh, so cool. Yeah. We would, I mean, the walkway in general would be just great to have because you're so close. You literally, like, the first
and it's not close to anything else.
No. And the first time we stayed there, and I've heard this of other people, you know, all the big, like, purple signs, and we're driving through and we're looking for the lodge and we're like, where's the lodge? The sign says Animal Kingdom, but we've missed the turn for the lodge. Where are we going? You follow the signs to the Animal Kingdom and you basically go to the side of that entrance, the parking entrance, and it's just barely past that. I mean, they're so close. And there's no walkway, so no, definitely.
And there's nothing else close. I mean, they can't out on their own.
You have to think it is a animal park that has a lot of wild animals. They don't want really people walking around, I think.
But I mean, I think they do a good job of, you know, natural barriers, and you think they would be able to do something, or a tram or something.
I will say the other thing is, there is a walkway between the Jumbo House and Kidani Village areas, and it's a nice walk. Just, I mean, it's parking lot for part of it, but then there's a lot of, like, you know, there's just so much, like, vegetation over by the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and it's kind of just, there's music throughout the whole walkway. And
off topic, what's the better place to stay?
See, I prefer Kidani Village because it's quieter, but I also like Saratoga Springs. I don't mind the, like, walking and the sprawl.
Oh, no. I meant out of the Kidani Village Jumbo House.
I like Kidani. It's a little bit farther away. It's a little bit more spread out. Jumbo House is very much like Wilderness Lodge, so it's, like, you know, bustling. And so if you want to be next to Bomanjiko and next to the bigger pool and, you know, there's stuff there, it's kind of more centrally located, it feels like. But Kidani has its own sit-down restaurant and its own pool and a really nice splash area, so we actually like that.
You get Savannah rooms in either?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Never stayed there.
And Kidani actually has more DVC rooms. I mean, it's entirely DVC rooms, so...
Oh, I didn't realize. I thought it was all... Well, okay, it was all DVC rooms.
Jumbo House is basically the main... It's just basically the DVC name for the main building. So Animal Kingdom Lodge, the original building that looks like Wilderness Lodge, that has that tall lobby. And so Jumbo House, that's basically is the Jumbo House. They just, I don't know if it used to be called that or if they just called it that to distinguish from Kidani.
Got it.
So there's a couple of floors in there that are DVC. And then Kidani is entirely DVC.
Got it.
They're easier to get rooms there, but... They're both beautiful. And even if you don't have a Savannah room, and this is totally off topic, but you could just walk down the hallway. There's big viewing windows everywhere, and such a cool resort, even just to visit. Everyone should go over and check it out.
I've never experienced it, but one of the best tips I've heard about Animal Kingdom Lodge is the night vision goggle viewing. Have you done that?
Yeah. And that's actually, I don't know that that's, we've never seen it available at Kidani. We've had to go over to Jumbo House for that. But both areas have the fireplace with the storytelling, and so cool. They're both really neat.
That's awesome, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, back to transportation.
Well, I think that you're getting to something that really, as we wrap up Animal Kingdom, that really is the more difficult parts of transportation. And that is, say I'm staying anywhere on property. I'm in a value, I'm in a moderate, whatever the case may be, and I want to go over and check out these night vision goggles, or I want to get to Animal Kingdom Lodge. How do I get from resort to resort?
Okay.
I mean, that's one of the most difficult things to do it, right?
Okay.
How do you do it?
That's a cab.
A cab is
the best choice. And if you have friends, you split the cab.
So,
a really great point, because I was surprised, as often as I know Jimmy has gone down, that he hadn't been to Animal Kingdom Lodge yet. But there again, it's just that difference in having a car or not having a car. Most of the transportation in Disney World can get you just about anywhere. We talked about it being a little bit harder to get to the mini golf, but still very, very doable. Resort to resort is, I think that's the reason that a lot of people don't experience the resort restaurants, go visit the resorts just for fun. Because, see, we make days of doing that, of going to the resorts and checking out all they have to offer, because there's so much to see in all of them. We've been to several that we haven't stayed at. But if you don't have a car, you're right, it's much harder.
You can do it, but you're going to spend a lot of time getting there, right? We joked before that you could spend all day on transportation, and you can. You can go You name it. You know, a lot of people will look at the transportation and ticket center as the central location for a lot of this stuff, and you can think of that as the center, but it's still going to take you time to get from All-Star to Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's going to take time.
Honestly, if you do a little bit of research, instead of assuming that, or even just ask somebody at your resort, going up to the ticket and transportation center from most of the resorts is going to be way out of your way, unless you're going to a Magic Kingdom area resort, because it's so far north. So really, yeah, going to one of the, you know, your, I guess the most general advice that seems to work all the time, maybe it's not the most efficient, but it's easy to remember, is hop on the first park bus you see. You know, say I'm staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, hop on the first bus that comes. Any other resorts, and then when you get there, or I'm sorry, not resorts, any other parks, and then from that park, there will be buses to the other
resort. To whatever resort, and that's a way of doing it.
And fairly the fastest. Sometimes it'd be faster to, you know, take a bus to Downtown Disney and then walk to Saratoga Springs. But generally speaking, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be, you're going to get where you're going in a reasonable amount of time, and it's easy to remember. Get to a park, then you can get anywhere.
Well, I mean, I think if you're going with friends and you're trying to get resort to resort, even if you're not going with friends, but I mean, especially if you're going with friends, a cab is, I mean, when we did when all of us did the Boardwalk tour, me and Ed were both at All Star Movies, and we took a cab over. And I think it was $12.
It's less
it's six,
any
it's
place
six bucks
I've gone.
Piece. I mean,
any place I've gone, Jimmy, it's been less than 15 to get from pretty much anywhere within Walt Disney World. So it's not that bad.
Any property to property, right?
Any property to property. It's been 15 or less. And some of my experience has been because I've had a car too, just like you, Jen, and it's okay. We could drive from here to there. That's not a problem. Staying at the Swan and Dolphin and needing to get over the Grand Floridian for an anniversary dinner, which we did. Yeah, we can drive it, but you know what? We're going over to the Grand Floridian. We're going to have a great dinner. I'm going to have a couple of drinks. I don't want to drive.
Yeah, you don't want to drive.
And
yeah, I don't have the responsibility.
Exactly. And there is no problem getting a cab when you're trying to leave, unless maybe you're leaving Riverside at 1 o'clock in the morning after Yeehaw Bob's done and you're trying to get to an All-Star resort. That's a whole nother story.
Who's
but it can
that?
Be done.
go inside and you tell them you need a cab to the airport,
and that's essentially what was done, and I tipped him well, let's put it that way.
You know, we talked about, you mentioned not having a responsibility, and certainly if you're, you know, if you have certain needs with either young kids or older people, or if you're drinking or whatever the case may be, that you might not want to drive. There are also just schools of thought. Like I like to be on my own timetable, and I like to get where I'm going and have the freedom to have a car. Some people truly just say, when I'm on vacation and Disney has the option of free transportation everywhere, I don't want to drive. So really, it's so nice to have that option either way. You know, so if we have a car, we can go out one night and not take it. We can go to the Magic Kingdom and take a bus because it's easier. If you don't have a car, you can guarantee that you're still going to get wherever you need to be.
Yeah, that I love that point. And I actually have friends that drive for a living, and they tell me their week in Disney World, they're not driving, period. They won't do it.
Sure.
Because
yeah,
that's part of their vacation.
Yeah, they wanna...
That's part of my vacation, not getting behind a wheel. I'll let somebody else drive me, and I'll go to a park, and I'll do whatever, and I'll walk if I can. And the transportation is there, and you're right. It's a great free benefit.
And I will say, we're not talking much about driving, but if, you know, if you don't want to drive or you feel like you're going to get lost in Disney World or something, then it's awesome to have the transportation. I will just throw out, if somebody's considering it, that everything is really well labeled. And mousesavers.com has like every rental car code, and you can get ridiculous deals. And rental cars, unlike a lot of other things, you can book them. You don't pay for it until you get there. Or, you know, you have to, there's cancellation policies, of course. But you can keep checking back, and as the fare drops or the rental rate drops, it goes lower. So if the cost is the reason that you're not wanting to drive and you're considering taking cabs sometimes anyway, it's certainly worth looking into, because driving in Walt Disney World isn't bad either. So it's not like driving in Los Angeles or, you know, there's very little traffic except for pictures that I saw the week between Christmas and New Year's, which were crazy.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I did.
Like, I saw lines of cars that I thought were getting into the park, but they were getting into the gates with Mickey and Minnie on the sides. Like, they were on external roads, just parked. But anyway, most of the time that you're going, traffic isn't bad and directions aren't bad, so.
And the other thing you can do is bring a designated driver. Yeah. My daughter, who's 15, just got her driver's permit. She's our, and so this is a great time to plug our meet. We're doing a Disney Nerds podcast meet the night of February 22nd. We're going to start at 8 o'clock at Narcoosie's in the Grand Floridian.
That's 1 week from today.
It's 30 days.
One month from today.
And so we're going to start at Narcoosie's at 8 o'clock. The goal is to be at the Tambu Lounge in the Polynesian, which is the next stop over on the monorail, for 9 o'clock for wishes. And we'll go resort to resort, having a drink here and there. And we'll definitely keep it kid-friendly. So if you're a listener and you think you're going to be there and you want to show up, don't feel bad about bringing the kids. My kids will be there, but my daughter just got her permit, and I've already told her, I'm like, you know what, you'll be driving us back to Caribbean.
Yeah, and so the rental car companies know you drive from home in Louisiana to get there, so you're not renting a car.
Yeah.
We make sure they do.
Right, we're in our car.
15-year-old's not driving. Yeah.
We're in our car. 15-year-old's not driving the rental car. No, we'll be in our car. So. Good times.
That's awesome. So I'm pretty sure that I'll be able to make it. Can't wait to see you.
What are you talking? You better make it.
All right, I'll make it.
You are one quarter of the Disney Nerds podcast.
I appreciate that. I'll do my best to be there. I'll be there.
I think we'll have three quarters,
which is good.
I think Jen, you're definitely gonna be there, right, Jen?
Yeah.
So Jen's in.
And Jimmy, we talked about buses, boats, monorails, taxis, walkways, lots of different ways to get around Walt Disney World. Now, look, I know that it can be intimidating almost to some extent, but you know what? Hey, you have any questions, let us know. TheDisneyNerds@yahoo.com will bring your specific questions onto the show and get them answered. But you'll find a way to get where you need to be. It's vacation for sure.
It's definitely not something to be stressed over.
No. Absolutely.
As we were talking, if it's your first time down or your first time taking transportation, it could sound overwhelming, but the reality is there's, you know, things in your room and signs and people that will help you get anywhere you're going pretty easily. So.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. So with that, I think that wraps up this show of the Disney Nerds podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thedisneynerds.com. I am Sam.
This is Jimmy. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And Instagram.
And Instagram. Yeah.
Especially for pictures of the Sorcerer's hat coming.
Oh, man. Sam actually is the one who posts the Instagram pictures, and he's been doing a fantastic job.
There, I just got a new one for you, Sam, so I don't know if you got that or not.
I saw that. It's just coming down so slowly. Oh,
no.
The long, painful death. I know. I'm not just even... I don't even know if I was a fan of it, but it's agonizing to watch it die.
Agree with that. I just hope that it's gone before Star Wars weekend so I can see the fireworks.
I just hope it's gone before February 22nd.
Oh, I think it will be.
Yeah.
All right. Hey. I'm Jennifer, so we're out, right?
Yeah.
Congolese.
See ya.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. Ladies and gentlemen, please collect your belongings and watch your head and step. Please assist small children by the hand. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely.
What was that? Jimmy? Is that Jimmy?
Are you there, Jimmy? Burp if you can hear us.